It's time for Cooking with Julia, the most delicious hour of your week. A program where we chat about what's cooking in Central Oregon. Every Saturday morning at this time, we invite you to call 388-1110 and bring your questions and comments about all things food to the table. And here's your host, Julia Gray, Central Oregon's Queen of the Kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry, and Lady Diner herself. Here's Julia!
Well, good morning. I'm Julia Gray. Welcome to Cooking with Julia on this beautiful Saturday morning. I think this is going to be the last gorgeous day, warm day anyway. It'll probably be gorgeous, but it won't be as warm. Starting tomorrow, some clouds are supposed to roll in, more clouds anyway. We're supposed to get a cold front. So we're supposed to get down in the teens overnight and just in the 50s during the day by the middle of next week. So fall is here. And I hope you had a good weekend. I do have one quick announcement. Ginger's Kitchenware, you know, they moved to the old mill. And actually, Jaime's going to be on the on my show next week. They're going to have dinner and a show cooking classes October 24th, which is this Monday. John Ash, an evening with John Ash. And you can find out more about that by going to Ginger's Kitchenware.com. And they have a whole slate of classes, actually. November 1st, an evening with Chef T.R. McChrystal of Jen's Garden is the one after that. So do check that out. I love Jaime and Ginger. They have a great, great little business over there, just beautifully laid out store. And I know he brings a lot of fun to his classes. Speaking of classes, my guest today is probably the premier place to learn here in Central Oregon. Gene Fritz is the executive director, executive chef of the Cascade Culinary Institute, and he's brought with him Thor Erickson. And Thor, you're new here. You're the new guy. What is you're a chef instructor of dinner service there at the new Elevations restaurant at the Junker building?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Welcome, Gene.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Sure. No problem. And to start things off, though, I want Thor to tell us. You tell me, Thor, how did you get involved in food?
How did I get involved in food? Well, I was born into the restaurant industry in the California Bay Area. My parents owned restaurants in San Francisco and Redwood City. And as a child, if I wanted to spend some time with my parents, I had to work at the restaurant. So very early in my life, I started working at restaurants and kind of worked my way up the ladder, so to speak, and found myself very interested in it and went to culinary school and from there worked at quite a few different places. I've been in Bend for 19 years.
Wow.
And been teaching at the Culinary Institute. This is my third year.
And you actually used to work at Scanlon's, you said, right?
Yeah,
nice.
Scanlon's.
I'm just trying to let people know that if they don't know your voice, they may have seen your face, which doesn't help on radio, but but you've been around and you know what Bend is like, and you know what Bend likes, actually.
So, right.
So you're an instructor up there for the dinner service, and I actually had a chance to eat there. It was last week. Went up there to Elevations. And really, I was very impressed with the restaurant because I went to the place before you had it opened up.
Yeah.
So I still saw it in its raw state.
A lot of sheetrock dust still.
Yeah. So now it's gorgeous.
Which is not on the menu.
That's extra. You have to pay extra for that, huh? But I've got to tell you, Thor, you're doing a really good job with just having opened up the restaurant for a few weeks now. And
well, thank you. It's the restaurant is operated by students who are in the capstone class. So all the credit goes to those students who are working very hard from opening the restaurant in about 5 days to following through. Half of them do the service in the dining room and the other half cook in the kitchen. And now it's the fifth week of the term, so in about a week or so, the students are going to switch. So the ones that were in the kitchen will be in the dining room and vice versa.
Now, Gene, what I've noticed, and you think when you say students, a lot of people think these guys are young. Yeah, you have some younger ones in there, but they're all ages.
You know, the student demographic, you know, we're about split on gender, male to female ratio. We at Central Oregon Community College and Cascade Culinary Institute, we have a lot of non-traditional students as well. So we have people based on the recession that have experienced an opportunity, I think is what we really are calling it now, to make a transition and to maybe go back to their first love. And so we've got students in their 40s and 50s, and we have people that maybe aren't even pursuing a long-term career path, but want to get a culinary education here in Central Oregon. So it's exciting to accommodate the needs of somebody coming right out of high school, maybe out of a Pro Start program here locally at the high school level and moving it into the curriculum at Cascade Culinary Institute, but then to also diversify how we teach and to accommodate student learning styles at all ages. So a pretty exciting time for us right now. We had an 87% increase in enrollment this quarter.
Wow. And how is it going with the new building? How's the response been?
Phenomenal. We had the grand opening this Wednesday. We had about 325 community members come to the grand opening. And then also on Tuesday of this last week, we had the chamber ribbon cutting event. We had about 125 community members come. And so that attendance and that exposure to what's going on in the new Junkers Culinary Center has been very exciting, been sort of a catalyst, a point of contact for them to see the space and see the opportunity for them to be an involved member of the student learning experience.
Wow. So it is, if you've not had a chance to go up there and just take a look at the school, I recommend that you go up there because it is gorgeous. You guys have done a great job with the layout. The sculpture out front is fun, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. So I have some questions about attending the school and what the kids have, you know, what they're learning, things like that. But right now, before we do that, we better take a break because I don't want to get involved in something and then have to take a break. And you two out there, if you have a question about attending the Institute or any kind of cooking questions, hey, I got two highly experienced, well-qualified chefs right here. Give us a call, 541-388-1110, and ask them the question. But I do have a series of questions too, but we want to hear from you too. Right now, we got to hear from some sponsors. First one coming up, Oregon Dan's Barbecue Sauce. And I want to thank Dan for his continued support of my show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Our highs today could get up to the low 70s, high 60s anyway, and then more clouds are going to roll in and we're going to start cooling down quite a bit. So get out and enjoy today. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. My guests today, Gene Fritz and Thor Erickson from the Cascade Culinary Institute up at the COCC at the college up there. You also have another instructor who's not here with us today, but I wanted you to introduce people to him. His name is John Calvin, and he teaches the Lunch Bunch up there.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Chef Calvin, new addition to our team, doing a great job teaching the lunch service and elevation, as well as a hot foods 2 course and then also a garmage course, and doing a phenomenal job engaging the students. And we got Sam LaDuca also, who's a front of the house instructor, and a Michelle Morris, who's our baking and pastry instructor. So they are doing a bang up job. As we entered into the new facility, everybody's sort of learning where everything is and really trying to engage the students right up front. And I think the students are having a great time in the new kitchen. So all the new small wares and all the new stove tops and ovens, and they're having a really good time breaking it in.
Oh, yeah. And I you know, shout out to Bargreen Ellington.
Bargreen Ellingson.
Yep. Ellingson, I'll get it right. They're the ones that got the contract and has really outfitted the building beautifully.
Yeah, did a great job.
Really, really great. And we have a caller on the line.
All right.
Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Thank you. Good morning. Excuse me, my first talking in the morning.
That's okay. Well, you've all been there.
Mine too.
Anyway, What I'm calling about is, for years I've been trying to figure out how Franco-American spaghetti used to make their macaroni with cheese sauce. It was back in the 60s when I had it. So, and I think they quit making it in the 80s. And it was made with long macaroni noodles, and it seemed more like a white to a light yellow sauce than a heavy cheddar sauce.
Wow. Macaroni and cheese is, it can be a challenge sometimes. I guess, Thor, you're the expert on this?
Nobody's old enough probably to remember
that.
Thor's seen pictures.
Yeah, I think that probably was discontinued when a larger company bought that.
Campbell's.
Yes, correct. And basically what the product was macaroni and cheese made with longer spaghetti or vermicelli noodles. And that was a cheese sauce, but it was made with like a powdered cheese and had some coloring to it, which was probably annatto seed, which is a natural coloring, which they add to butter and cheese to make it yellow. I don't know how to replicate that. That's kind of one that's lost in history.
Oh dear!
but we could say you had a fresh pasta dish this week on the menu, right?
Yeah, last night we prepared some fresh pasta in class, some pappardelle pasta, and we had some chanterelle mushrooms that were foraged and brought to us, and we did a chanterelle mushroom pappardelle pasta with some beet greens, some fresh thyme, little hint of cream, and some local goat cheese.
Okay, so maybe throwing a little goat cheese in it might help. What do you think? You with me, caller?
What about Fontina? Would that work?
Fontina is a great cheese to use in macaroni and cheese. It's got great flavor. It's got great texture. I would probably start with creating a bechamel sauce, which is a very basic white sauce, and then adding some cheese to that to get the flavor and texture that you want.
Okay, well, maybe somebody will remember.
Maybe somebody will remember, and so you got to keep listening because they could call in and tell us the secret.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for listening. Bye-bye. And we have another caller on the line.
Great.
Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Hi. I would like to take advantage of their knowledge from teaching. A lot of us have high blood pressure, and salt is a disaster. We get in trouble. I like to travel and I like to dine out. I go to high-end restaurants and I beg the waiters and I beg the chefs, no salt. And I will know in 45 minutes, they ignored me. It's happening over and over again. So now it's, my dining pleasure is gone.
Oh. Sure, sure.
They won't pay attention. So when I go to a restaurant, because I think they take the bowl of salt, they take the salt, they throw it, maybe they pre-season their meat or fish or something. Is there something I could order that you would know that they don't pre-season and I can not get salt?
Yeah, you know, what I would look for and even articulate if you make a reservation at a restaurant in advance, let us know how to accommodate your dietary needs. In the reservation process. I would aim towards the items that are on the menu that are more fresh in orientation, so that they're not pre-prepared, they're not seasoned in stages throughout the cooking process, and you ensure that they're cooked a la minute at the last minute.
What would that be?
You'd be oriented towards more whole cuts of meat, you know, probably not a braise or stew, but more something that's going to be cooked in a dry heat cooking method, like grilled or sauteed or something like that.
A steak or a piece of fish.
Exactly. And
a
so,
piece of fish, okay.
Yeah, and then vegetables on top of that, you know, those are typically cooked a la minute at the last minute. So you could let them know that you don't want that additional seasoning to finish, and that's probably a great way to start off.
So fish and steamed vegetables, okay. Because a lot of them are just ignoring me. And I'll pay any amount that I can't eat out.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you come to Elevation, I promise we won't ignore you.
Okay, I will be there. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. That was a pretty interesting question. Hadn't thought of that. And thank you, the callers, for calling in. So I'm wondering if brining would be a problem for her then, when you brine something.
Chef Erickson's our brining expert.
Yeah, brining, well, salt is a very necessary part of brining.
Right.
And, you know, what brining does is, using the principles of diffusion and osmosis, which is maybe a little scientific for this, but it pulls most of the moisture out of something, like a piece of meat, like, for instance, a chicken. I'm brining a chicken today for dinner tonight. It pulls a lot of that moisture out, but then it puts it back in, over a period of time. So salt is a very necessary part of that. So brining is out for somebody who's on a salt-free diet.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And maybe some restaurants should take note and listen to those that call in with a, you know, there's a reason why they say they need salt-free. And just, you know, maybe steer them in. And also, listeners, it's up to you to maybe go online, look at their menus, and make sure, you know, that you're going to a place that you can get something that can be salt-free. But ordering ahead or letting them know ahead is a great, you know, that's a smart thing to do. Boy, need to get to some questions, but we have another caller. You guys are popular. Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Oh, hi. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
I have some questions about the restaurant.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, how often will you have selective items on the menu as far as changing it up in different varieties, and what could I look forward to?
That's a great question. Well, we change the menu seasonally, or as things come and go. For instance, wild salmon just kind of stopped. So we are moving into a wild Oregon albacore tuna this next week, because we want to focus on as many local fresh ingredients as we possibly can. Another example is heirloom tomatoes. Those are gone because the weather's cold. They're starting to cool off, and the tomatoes are ripe or not ripe or overripe. And so we're taking that off the menu and replacing it with some different things that are more conducive to what is fresh right now. And instead of completely changing a menu, there'll be subtle changes over the course of time.
And I think in Elevation, our primary learning objective in that class, one of them is to focus on that farm-to-table move and to work with seasonal and local. So Sarah Lee from Rain Shadow Organics was in a couple times this week making deliveries at about 10 o'clock at night. And so we're working with those local growers right now.
Yeah, Sarah Lee, Jim Fields, a lot of different local growers of meat and vegetables as well.
That sounds wonderful. How many courses do you guys offer?
Three courses, and it's a fixed price menu at $19.
And to clarify, you still get to choose at each one of those courses. So there'll be a soup and maybe a salad or appetizer to pick from, maybe three or four different entrees and one or two different desserts. So you can come in multiple times and not have too much overlap with previous experiences.
And are you only open certain days of the week? Or?
Good question. I was going to get to that.
Yeah, Elevation Restaurant is open Wednesday through Friday. We have a happy hour called Peak, and it runs from 4:30 to 6 Wednesday through Friday, and then from 6 to 8, the dining room is open.
And then as well, the a la carte course offers lunch on Thursdays, every Thursday for the rest of the quarter, and that service time is 11:30 to 1 o'clock.
Oh, well, thank you. I just want to say I appreciate what you guys offer up there and look forward to coming up there.
I hope so. Yeah. Make a point to come on up there.
You can check us out at elevationbend.com and you can make a reservation online.
And I have a link to it on the Cooking with Julia page at kbnd.com already.
Oh, great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And interesting. And give us the location where they can find the school and the restaurant.
Yeah, so if you jump into town and take Newport going west, and then it becomes Shevlin Park Road, continue west until you hit the turnabout at Shevlin Park Road and Mount Washington Drive, and we're on the northeast corner of that location.
So there's actually a couple of ways to get there off of Shevlin Park Drive or Mount Washington. And no, is that Mount? Yeah, Mount Washington. There's two little driveways right the first ones after you get off the circle or right before if you're going up the Newport Drive. So it's interesting. It's gorgeous is what I mean to say. And we'll maybe talk a little bit more about what's on the menu right now after we take our break to hear some news. And I think I'm going to give away some Oregon Dan's barbecue sauce for caller number. Give me a number, Thor.
13.
Caller 13. Oh, he's a big one. 13. You can get some Oregon Dan's barbecue sauce, 541-388-1110. You're listening to Cooking with Julia here on News Talk 1110 KBND. And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. Congratulations go out to Gil Miller, new caller. He's not won before, so I appreciate you listening, Gil, and calling in. Listen next week for another edition of Cooking with Julia's giveaway at the bottom of the hour. I have as my guest today Gene Fritz. He's the executive director and executive chef of the Cascade Culinary Institute, and Thor Erickson, Chef Thor Erickson. And he's an instructor, and he teaches the dinner service there up at the Elevation restaurant that is new. I mean, you had a restaurant. There was a restaurant for the cook. There's always been a restaurant in the cooking school. But this one elevates it and really makes it a fine dining experience.
I think the name that we selected is representative of us elevating the quality of culinary arts education within Central Oregon and even to the greater Pacific Northwest. But then also, it elevates the connection to the community. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback from the customers over the last 5 weeks that we've been open. And it's really exciting to hear what they have to say about the experience and their interactions with the students. So we're elevating also the engagement with the community because we're on that threshold of the campus, you know, right on the edge and on the bottom side of the campus. And it's exciting to see the local patrons walking their dogs, you know, around our building and coming in and dining, just walking over from their house. And so we're really making a new connection, a fresh connection with the community with the Elevation concept.
Yeah. And the restaurant is, there's pictures on the website, right?
Yes. And on Facebook.
And it's gorgeous. I mean, it really does teach the students service and fine dining food right there. I mean, there's always been a food service element to the program, but before it was not in the best of, I mean, it was as good as you worked with what you had, which was basically a cafeteria. So this really does give the ambience, because it's a beautiful restaurant. It's got a fireplace and the lighting and the decor and everything is really, really great. So I went there a week and a half ago or so, and took my granddaughter, and so I could taste a lot of different things. And it was really, Thor, I want to talk to you a little bit about your menu, because you said it's about to change a little bit to accommodate what's seasonal. But I had the pork roulette as an appetizer, and it was delicious. The presentations, too, you're doing really good with that. I mean, everything that the whole meal was presented spectacularly.
Thank you.
The pork roulette, though, it was because I'm a big pork, you know, I speak fluent pork here.
Love
the bacon and pork roulette with pickled fennel, which was anything pickled, and I'm down with that. The mustard, smoked sea salt, and with a little fingers of brioche. It was really good. Do you develop everything? Is this all your menu? Did you develop all these dishes, or was it kind of like put your heads together?
Well, we have ideas of what is available to us as far as products from local farmers and purveyors. And when we meet with the students for the first several class sessions, we throw some of these ideas out and come up with the menu together.
So students have an input so that they
definitely.
So it's, hey, it brings that ownership pride thing into it
too.
That's
right. That's right.
But they also have things like smoked, which I kind of went with the smoked salmon, wild salmon beignets, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, beignets is something that people tend to think of as a dessert item. Just kind of taking the same technique, but a little bit out of context and adding a savory element like smoked salmon, which that wild salmon was in season. We're going to be replacing that with something else coming up that may be a surprise next week. But taking some savory elements and kind of doing a little switcheroo, and people go, oh, that's interesting. So it's fun.
It is. And then you also, on your appetizer list, you have beets, which is, you can't go wrong with, in my book. I think people need to eat more beets.
I agree.
And you serve them with a chèvre, arugula, blood orange juice, and toasted hazelnut oil. Really, really.
Yeah, Juniper Grove chèvre. So local goat
local,
cheese
local,
as well.
Local. On your entrees, right now anyway, and subject to change, you've got another, you're using white salmon in papillote. Are you going to continue that?
The wild salmon prepared in papillote, papillote is a technique that actually the whole dish is wrapped in parchment. And this particular dish is salmon that has a little... wild salmon that has a little seasoning on it, and it is wrapped in parchment with Granny Smith apples, grilled romaine lettuce, some bacon lardons, which we cure the bacon ourselves at the Cascade Culinary Institute. And then a lemon garlic aioli is poured over that table side, so it's cut open at the table and that sauce is poured over. So it's a really nice preparation. It's a technique that's not used so much anymore. Those flavors steam together and get to know one another very well in there. And it kind of has its own personality when it's unwrapped.
Yeah. Oh, it's how fun. But I had the crispy sous vide cider brine pork belly. You know, like I said, you got pork on the menu and I zero in on that. And that was... really, I thought it was just spectacular. I absolutely loved it. And a lot of people don't know about sous vide cooking.
Yeah, it's something that's been around for a little over 30 years in the mainstream, but just in the last 10 years has really gotten to be used in a lot of different restaurants. I know that Thomas Keller came out with a sous vide cookbook about 5 years ago. That's really enhanced a lot of home cooks really wanting to use it. Now there are appliances that home cooks can purchase. They're a little bit expensive, but they can home cooks can purchase those to try this at home. Sous vide is a technique that is taking a food item, say for instance pork belly, like on our menu, brining it and vacuum sealing it, and that's basically removing the oxygen. You can use either a big cryovac machine like we have or the little food saver that one can buy, you know, at any store locally. And then submerging that in a temperature-controlled bath that... it's called an immersion circulator, the appliance, and it circulates temperature-controlled water that is at the same temperature for, in this case, 16 hours.
Yeah.
So it really makes that pork belly very tender. We remove that from the package, crisp it in the pan, so add that layer of crispiness or fond, that crunchy flavor on the outside, and then, like you mentioned, we serve that with a... warm fennel salad, potatoes dauphine, some heirloom tomatoes.
Those tomatoes dauphine, and I've made those too, but you guys, you did it better than I did. But that was really very, very tasty. We're ready at a place where we have to take another break. It goes by too fast because I didn't even touch one question on my list of questions for you guys. 541-388-1110. I will throw out any question as long as we get it on the phone, too, because I love when the callers call in. And please do. You're listening to Cooking with Julia right here on News Talk 1110 KBND.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Amore.
Welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray in our last segment here. Today for my house painter that listens, I know I have a house painter that listens and always wants to know what the weather's going to be like. Paint your house today. Okay, house painting is good for today. It's going to be fairly mild, near 70 degrees and plenty of sunshine. After this, it's going to start clouding up and getting cold. So there's your weather report for today. My guest, Gene Fritz, executive chef and executive director of the Cascade Culinary Institute up at COCC, and an instructor and executive chef for dinner service, Chef Thor Erickson, has been in the business for a long time here and answering your questions and talking about all kinds of things happening up at the Institute. And you have a very special guest that's coming in a couple of months.
Yeah, we are really excited to announce that Ruth Reichel, who was the chief editor for Gourmet Magazine for around 10 years and also a food critic for the New York Times and also the Los Angeles Times, is going to be coming in as part of a lecture series sponsored by the college. And she'll be speaking at Bend High School. We'll have tickets on sale through the Central Oregon Community College website and the Cascade Culinary Institute website. We're expecting about 1,400 attendees at that event. And the event is going to be on February 15th. And then as well as part of that event, we'll be having sort of an exclusive reception for her, and she'll speak to a smaller crowd at the Cascade Culinary Institute building earlier that evening. So we're delighted to have somebody of that caliber help us kick off this first year of being open in the new Junger's Culinary Center.
So, and you will soon, it's not quite on the website yet, but the information will be on the website.
Absolutely. Should be going up online here over the next week or so.
Okay. So that is exciting. Big name comes to Bend.
Absolutely.
And she's probably going to talk about, explain if people don't know who she is. She kind of invented restaurant reviews in a way.
Well, she didn't invent restaurant reviews.
Well, no,
but I think she is kind of the quintessential food critic. All of the you hear about these food critics who wear the disguise when they go into a restaurant to remain anonymous. She kind of created that persona,
okay,
in New York and Los Angeles when she was doing that.
So yeah, She'll probably have some interesting stories.
Yeah. Oh yes, I'm sure. Yes, she does.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now I want to finally get to some questions, because there could be some budding chefs out there, the people that, yes, want to get involved in it. Let me ask, either one of you can answer this, or both of you even. What is the most difficult thing that the students have to learn? I mean, what do you see as something that time after time, it's the hardest hurdle for them to jump over?
You know, I would go with learning that working in a kitchen and building the necessary confidence and skill sets that are required for the workforce, different than a lot of other learning, requires a lot of repetition. So basic knife skills is something that every day in class, especially at the lower division, the Culinary Foundation's one course and such, the repetition is something that people don't understand coming into it, but it's so important to build your skills so that you can be executing at a high rate of speed when you get into the industry. And so I'd say that the repetition is often a surprise and, you know, but a very important part of building the necessary skill set for our graduates.
Yeah.
What would you say, Chef?
As far as the advanced students that I have, realizing that sometimes failure is a great key to success. You know, in that repetition that Gene was just speaking of, building that sense of urgency for working in the industry, which is very fast paced, and you know, sometimes in inventing these menu items that we were talking about earlier, sometimes you know you're pairing things together that you don't really know are going to work together, but you've got to try that and you've got to understand how those things work, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, we as chefs go, well, that was kind of a flop, but you learn from that. And students need to learn to accept that and keep moving. Keep moving. That's,
yeah,
I think, one of the biggest things.
We have another caller on the line. And welcome to Cooking with Julia. What can we do for you?
Hi, Julia. This question is for Thor.
My wife and I like to spearhead little holiday dinners out, and you know, we like to try different places, and we're very enthused with what we hear about the Elevation restaurant, and we were wondering if the restaurant will be offering any kind of a holiday special dinner in December.
Well, that's a great question.
And you're going to get that several times, I think. So go ahead.
We do have a lot of event requests. However, the students, the Elevation restaurant is run by students, and those students do go by the college schedule, which is they work Monday through Friday. So we're not open on weekends, and then we have our winter break starting. I believe it's December 9th, so and that goes until January 9th. So we will not be open during those times.
Oh.
Keep looking at the menu. There will be some menu offerings that are very conducive to holiday type eating and things like that.
Yeah, and I think also you'll see some representation of things that you can do at home for Thanksgiving and Christmas as you gather with the family, and we'll have some recipes that we'll start posting on the website to give you that connection. And then lastly, I'd say that as we start to offer a new curriculum next year, with a master curriculum revision that we're doing, we'll start offering an event planning and catering course for the students. And you'll see that type of offering begin to be available as we move into that new curriculum. It's just going to take some time. So we're looking forward to serving the community in that capacity. We're just not completely there yet to do it outside of the scheduled quarter for the college.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks very much. We're looking forward to visiting your restaurant.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Great. There you go. Getting some fans here. And, you know, you were talking about the question before about what's hard for the kids to learn. And I remember I saw Julie and Julia.
Yeah.
And one of the first thing that Julia Child had to learn going to cooking school in Paris is they handed her a huge sack of onions and said, practice on all these onions. You have to chop all these onions.
Yep.
And she did. I mean, and she finally, you know, breaks through that, you know, how to do it efficiently and correctly at the same time and safely too.
A lot of repetition and a lot of crying.
Yeah, that's true. I know onions. But we just got like a minute left here. I did want you, Gene, to talk about your community learning classes.
Yeah, we have community learning courses through the Cascade Culinary Institute. One is actually on bread baking being offered right at this moment in our building. And you know, we're excited to be able to serve the community beyond the credit bearing courses. And so if you go to the COCC website into the community learning area, you can either learn about it there or go to cascadeculinary.com and you can learn about the community learning courses that are being offered for the remainder of the fall. Chef Erickson just did a beer and food pairing course with a local beer aficionado.
Bill Herrick.
Yep, and that was a super exciting course, a very great following in terms of connecting food and beer. And we're excited. We've got about another 6 or 7 courses being offered this fall, and we're working on the winter schedule right now. So if you have interest in any particular item that you'd like to receive some weekend training, let us know.
All right, and once again, on the website, you can download the actual brochure that has descriptions of all the different community classes that you can take. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. I have so many questions here. I guess I'm going to have you come back. How's that?
Sounds great.
Once again, Gene Fritz, Thor Erickson from the Cascade Culinary Institute up at the college at COCC. Everybody have a great weekend. My guest next week is Jaime Aguirre from Ginger's Kitchenware.